He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to a new week. We'll call it Where's the Bottom? There's got to be a bottom in here somewhere in this crazy market. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. He'll try to help us find the bottom. He's out searching right now, looking for it.
Yeah, I'm looking for the sandbar.
Find it, please. The Dow is down 372 points, 32,527. And in my technical analysis over the weekend, I said the ultimate bottom for the Dow is right around 32,000. Well, you're just 527 points away from that. I said on the S&P 500, 4,000, probably the ultimate bottom here. It's at 4,056 right now. We're just 56 points above that. We're down 67 points today. That's a 1.6% drop and down 67 points. The NASDAQ, I said, well, you know, it shouldn't venture too far from 12,000, and we're sure testing that today. That trampoline is bending. It's flexing below 12,000 right now. It's at 11,867. Keep in mind, we were over 16,000 not that long ago, and obviously the NASDAQ is in a bear market. It has been in one for several months now. The NASDAQ is down 276, 2.3%. The Russell 2000 small cap also looks very vulnerable here for more downside risk. Down 34 points today. Crude oil, you know, the Shanghai lockdowns continue. What can I say? Crude oil is down $3 per barrel, 106.70, as gasoline prices in our neighborhood going above $4 per gallon. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. With professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've got Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst, and we're looking at another. You know, it's when the sentiment turns, Barry, we're talking sentiment now, right? Just the emotional, how people feel about the market. When the sentiment gets sour, I mean, eventually it washes out. But in the meantime, you know, they do have a tendency to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
No, and, you know, it doesn't matter what the valuations look like. It doesn't matter what the earnings look like. It's just call up and sell everything, and we still have that going on right now in the market. But just based on the fundamentals, I mean, we're under 18 now. With the forward PE ratios. So the Dow, I said over the weekend, you're probably looking at a bottom of around 32,000 would be the ultimate bottom there. A lot of times big, round, even numbers will eventually give some technical support and hold those markets. The Dow right now is just 481 points above that 32,000 level. And I thought 4,000 probably, big round number on the S&P 500. We were at 5,600 not that long ago, or 4,600 rather, on the S&P 500. Now we're at 4,056, just 56 points away from 4,000. And the NASDAQ, you know, that's just ridiculous. It's now at 11,826, down from 16,000. Interest rates are holding steady today, pretty steady. We're at 3.12, and boy, you would just think that the NASDAQ would find a bottom somewhere around 12,000 here, and right now it's a little below 12,000. So,
well, we're a long way from. I feel like we're a long way from. I mean, remember just, you know, a handful of months ago, 6-7 months ago, where, you know, big tech was known as. A safe haven asset, right? Almost to a certain extent, you kept hearing, "Oh, anytime the markets going down, right?" And you know, by big tech, right? And that was kind of the safe haven play. Now, you know, kind of safe haven play has turned into, you know, some of the energy names.
Well, you know, and that rising interest rate environment is the difference, because it, for a long, long time, it was every dip in the tech stocks was a buying opportunity. And, of course, that was in a falling interest rate environment. So, you know, that started to end, and, you know, I started to talk about, hey, you know what, these sell-offs in the NASDAQ are not being bought. But conversely, the sell-offs in the oil stocks are being bought. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see if this little sell-off in oil today will eventually be bought. We got to get China back up and running. They have a zero-tolerance policy right now. If they come into your building and if a person on your floor tests positive for COVID, they're taking the whole, everybody that lives on that floor to the detention center, the quarantine center, you know, and you don't have, you have about 2 minutes to pack up whatever you need and go. And it's just a very heavy hand continues there.
When we touched 317, we touched 317 earlier this morning on the 10-year. We're now around 311, but you know, 317. I think we're approaching kind of. I think I want to say it was around 2011 or so of where, you know, the last time that the 10-year had gotten up into that type of territory.
Yeah, and you know, after the break here, and when we come back, we'll go through an update. We're pretty much done with earnings season. And just judging by the market, you'd say, gosh, we must have had just a horrible earnings season. Everybody is guiding lower and so pessimistic. I didn't get that feeling. I mean, there was a few notable disasters like Netflix and Shopify and stocks like that. But overall, I wasn't hearing that gloom and doom. So we'll go through the results of the earnings season here in a bit. Right now, as you look at the leaders in the market, it's all inverse ETFs. It's CLDS, which is inverse the cloud stocks, DRIP, which is inverse the oil stocks. It's SOX, S-O-X-S, which is inverse the semiconductor stocks. It's FANGed. I mean, the FANG stocks, forget about it. I mean, they are long gone. You know, Amazon's got a horrible chart. Netflix has absolutely been creamed. Facebook, Meta, has not been a good stock for quite some time. The days of FANG are definitely behind us. Then you're seeing some of the inverse real estate ETFs, which was another safe haven, the REITs. But now you've got this huge drop-off in applications for loans, people locking in rates. It's not happening right now because interest rates continue to move up. So some of these inverse real estate ETFs like DRV, it's moving higher. WEBS, which is inverse the internet stocks, moving higher. SoGoo.
Yeah, Bitcoin below 33,000.
Yeah, and Bitcoin has just been trashed, which is a risk on asset. China continues to get hit, and the inverse China ETF, Yang, up 4.8% today. Europe continues to get hit. EPV, 3.7% up today. And the U.S. small caps don't look good either. I mentioned we still own a few inverse ETFs, and I noted to several last week that, hey, if this doesn't hold these levels here, well, these will be my top choices to get into on the inverse ETFs. But right now, just stepping back a little bit from all of this, you would think, Barry, just from a risk-to-reward proposition, there's definitely more, a lot more upside potential in the market here right now than there is downside risk. I think the downside risk is very, very limited. I think it's a matter of getting these weak knees and nervous Nellies out of the way, where we can start making some constructive, you know, movement upwards in the market once again. So I'll be going through all my holdings today, like I always do. We have a few weak ones that'll probably have to be cut. I'll be going through the inverse ETF list today, looking maybe to add some back. Our SH is doing well today. Our SOGU is doing well. Our TBT's been doing well lately. Our SJB's been doing well lately. But depends on which way the NASDAQ goes here. And the small caps, those look like probably the best potential inverse ETFs at the current time. And those emerging markets, they do not look good at all. And I'll be looking at the inverse emerging market ETFs today also. So, hey, it's going to be a busy day. I told all my subscribers and clients, I sent out a notice this morning. I'll keep you posted throughout the day. And if you'd like to get on our Keep Me Posted list, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and sign up for the newsletter. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, May 11th and May 12th, Wednesday and Thursday. Why are those important dates? CPI report on Wednesday, PPI report on Thursday. That's the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index. I would say, Barry, that most of the blame on the sell-off in the market recently has been persistent inflation and rising interest rates. And that's being blamed again today, that you've got Japan down 2.5%, Hong Kong down 3.8%, Paris down 1.4%, higher interest rates, Shanghai lockdown, and persistent inflation seem to be the biggest issues driving the market.
Now, the Barry, the dollar index too, up at highest since 2002.
Okay, so UUP, let's look at that today. That's the U.S. dollar ETF. Yes, it's definitely breaking out again today, so you have a very strong dollar. You've got, persistent inflation. You've got rising interest rates and an election in November, right? Well, how about this? I've heard some people say, the big analyst out there saying that they're starting to see maybe a top in inflation and starting to cool off. Is there any hope for that out there right now?
That's what we've been hearing. As a consumer, right? I also have seen. I think we've got gasoline back at March 10th levels, which is I think the high that we've had. So we're already back from a gasoline price standpoint, at least average per, and I think diesel as well. Back to the highest levels since this year, which is not good for inflation. I think the sentiment out there, right? And on Friday we get the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. So that'll be interesting to see if this inflation's really been affecting the consumer. Because you got to think we've had inflation, but we also have kind of record employment levels, higher wages. Doesn't mean those wages are keeping up with inflation, but it is interesting how the dynamic between kind of what our economists and pundits are seeing, right, and then where you're seeing folks out and about. Because I mean, as getting out around town, just around the U.S. in general, folks are still spending money. They might not be buying as much, but they're certainly spending it.
Yeah. I mean, the vacation demand is high. So, yeah, we'll see where the CPI report comes in this week, Wednesday and Thursday.
But where the relief comes from, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're hearing in terms of economists talk about. We may have hit some top in inflation, but where's in what sectors, right? I mean, where's the top?
You've
got chicken. I mean, you look at chicken right now. You've got the biggest bird flu outbreak in America in ever, I believe. I think I saw it was either, I think it's 32 million chickens have been killed or 3 million, one or the other, but I think it was 32 because I was kind of shocked at the amount of, bird culling that we've done, here in the U.S.
Yeah.
But it's, it seems every time you get some relief, right, there's some other shock, right?
Yeah. And the supply chain is still a huge issue. So that makes a shortage of goods. When you have a shortage of goods, and the demand is still there, that drives prices up. Well, you're going to start seeing demand destruction, at some of these prices now. That I've looked at a few prices recently, I think I'll pass on that right now. But that's another worry. The defense stocks, they're doing well. Lockheed seeking to double the output of Javelin anti-tank missiles. That's always a good investment, right? The defense stocks, anti-tank missiles, blow up a tank. G7 unity. Well, Japan, they are a very natural resource poor country, and they finally agreed, I think they were the last one to climb on board, to gradually phase out imports of Russian oil. And, Germany kind of went along with it, too, last week, although it's not going to happen. They're not going to shut the spigot off overnight, but it's going to be slow but sure. And there again, I see that pressure on oil prices, that's not going to help. Now you're taking a big chunk of the supply out of the market, and you're going to, depend on other areas, and they're not increasing. OPEC just mad. I don't think they said we're going to open the spigot wider. Don't worry, we've got you. And that just seems like it's going to continue to put upward pressure on oil. And I think once China opens back up, if it ever does, are they going to keep them in their condos forever, in apartments forever? They still have that lockdown going on in Shanghai. Okay, here's a stock that's up today. Let me make sure it's still up. Oh, well, now it's flat. Churchill Downs. I did watch the Derby on Saturday. No Bob Baffert this time around. Instead, a little horse, unknown, came from basically last place. He drew into the Derby like on Thursday or Friday when there was a late scratch. So he was number
Friday, 30 minutes before the final post announcements.
So he's number 21
in a 20 horse race, by the way, which is what I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, so he comes running up on the inside, very reminiscent of Calvin Burrell and Mind That Bird. I can see a movie, and they claimed this horse out of a claiming race for $30,000 from the great Calumet Farms, which has won many derbies. It was interesting. Churchill Downs, there was 147,294 fans at Churchill Racetrack. I didn't see anybody wearing a mask. They seemed to be happy.
Biggest bet handle ever, by the way, for them.
It was, listen to this, higher than the $273 million. Four of those dollars were mine. I put in a $2 Exacta box that obviously did not hit. My wife was at the Derby last year with her daughter, not there this year. So anyways, Churchill Downs. Having a good day after. We don't know if the horse passed the drug test. He did seem a little aggressive there.
He was biting
the other horse. Mean little thing.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's a fighter, obviously. Okay, now when we come back, I'm going to give you an all-important update on the earnings season and where we stand now. with the valuations and the earnings forecast. Welcome back here to the final or the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Looking for a bottom in the market here, not finding one yet here today. The S&P is now down 94,033. Is it going to go over under 4,000? You would think it would hold that level. I mean, that's a pretty solid number there, 4,000. And, of course, the Dow, you would think it would hold 32,000. The NASDAQ is not holding at all. It's now 11,780. It's now down 3%. And crude oil is down $3.84. Okay, well, 87% of the S&P 500 companies have now reported their earnings. So earnings season is basically over. There are going to be a few that trickle in this week. 79% of the companies have beat their earnings estimate, and 74% have beat their revenue estimate. The estimated earnings growth for Q1 2022 is currently expected to be up 9.1%. 9.1% versus Q1 2020. That's pretty good, because when we started the quarter, 4.5% was the number, and we ended up 9.1%. So the quarter came in quite a bit better than was expected. And the revenue growth was really good. It came in at 13.3% revenue growth year over year. So like Barry said earlier in the show, consumers are still spending. And companies are still making money. The S&P forward P.E. ratio, now that's not counting today, goes down to 17.6. What's the 10-year average, or the 5-year average is 18.6. So now we're a full point below the 5-year average. The 10-year average is 16.8. And I would think with today's action, we got to be pretty close to that 10-year average. So the market has gone from 23 times forward earnings clear down to about 17 times forward earnings. The net profit margin for the quarter, 12.3%. That's very, very good. For the year 2022, we're looking for 10% growth in earnings and 10% growth in revenue. And the earnings estimates for this year, right now, with we're now in the second quarter of the year, $228 is what the consensus is. That compares to $208 last year. So that would be record earnings once again. You can divide the current, if the S&P gets down to 4,000 here, you can divide that by $228. 4,000 divided by $228, that would give you the forward PE for this year. And next year, the earnings estimate is for $249, which would be a record. Now, I watch also the direction of the estimates, whether they're coming down, whether they're going up, whether they're staying the same. I would say right now, they're pretty much staying the same. They're not coming down, that's for sure. 249 is about as good as it's been here recently for 2024. So you can take 4,000 divided by 249. Okay, let me just do that math here really quickly. 4,000 is where the S&P is. That's the price divided by 249. The forward PE is 16 now on next year's earnings. 16. That's the lowest I've seen it in a long, long time. And I think there's no question that the market, from a valuation point of view, has corrected much further than it deserved to correct. Okay,
well, that's a 30% from 20, where we're at 23.
Yeah,
right? You're 7 points down. That's a 30. I mean, that's a 30% multiple contraction.
Okay, now the other possibility is that now. Remember, these estimates, 249, this comes from all the analysts that cover the individual companies, talking to these companies on a regular basis, from Target to Amazon to Apple and on down the line. And if anything, these companies sandbag the analysts so that they can come in and beat their earnings. So this isn't just a forecast for the entire S&P. This is an aggregate of all of the individual companies speaking with the analysts. Now, the only thing that you could say here is that the companies don't see what's coming. That's hard for me to believe, that there's something out there that the market sees coming to these individual companies that the CEOs at the companies don't seem to be seeing themselves, which would make these estimates not too believable. But that's hard for me to buy, you know, that the companies themselves, you know, they pretty much price in, if anything, they guide to the low side of things.
Oh, yeah,
there's
course.
Without well, question.
Under promise, overperform, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I have to go on that number right now and kind of use that as the number that that gives the S&P about, well, from this level here, about 16% upside potential over the next 12 months. That's the highest I've seen in a long time. The consensus target price for the S&P 500 is 55,187. Now, in my book, that's too high. I'm below that quite a bit. But still, even with my number, there's a lot of upside potential here for the market. That's why I say, I mean, what is the downside risk here? Obviously, there was more in the market as of Friday. I said there was still more downside risk before we finally kind of wash out and hit some support levels and start to hold that. But the downside risk seems pretty low here, and the upside potential is as good as I've seen it in quite some time. Now, Goldman Sachs' target price is $4,700, which gives the market, you know, 700 upside points from this level here. That's about 18%. J.P. Morgan's target price is $4,900. That is about 22% upside potential. And Bank America probably has the lowest target price out there. They're at 4,500. But even that is 12.5% upside potential. So, you know, we'll just have to watch this play out. When you get the sentiment as sour as it is right now, you have to kind of wash that sentiment out and get rid of it. People have to exhaust the selling. It's kind of it's gotten into that panic mode right now. And we are at some very, very solid support levels in the Dow and the S&P 500. The NASDAQ's another story, and the Russell 2000's another story. They have the worst sentiment of all. And so we'll just have to watch. Okay, other companies. Other news today, we mentioned that we've got the CPI coming out Tuesday, the PPI coming out Wednesday. We've got China, which is really surprising. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. They have no tolerance, zero tolerance for COVID. They want to get it to zero before they let people out back out again. It's really kind of crazy. It's almost like they're teaching the people of Shanghai a lesson not to question.
Right. It's, it, it's, you know, a form of control in reality.
Oh, man, but it's really strange.
But I'll say one thing that's interesting. On Friday, we get the import price index, and the import price, talking about, you know, silver lining to CPI. So the number there previous was 2.6%. We're expecting 0.6% in April, which is an indication, right, of the dollar strengthening. So we're able to pay less, right, for things that we're importing, and because of the fact that the dollar has strengthened to where it has been. And you saw how we had that negative GDP number because our imports far exceeded our exports this last time around. So maybe that's a way to blend in some deflation along the way. Who knows?
Yeah, boy, you got natural gas now over $9. You've got gasoline, UGA hitting new highs. So definitely there's still a lot of energy inflation. Okay, well, I've got a few bright spots when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. It's the best Inverse ETFs Now show. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the sentiment continues to just be really sour on the market. The fundamentals are not that bad, so there's a disconnect in there somewhere. And eventually you're going to see it rectify itself, but it's certainly not going to happen today unless we get a wild rally at the end of the day here. It still seems to be that, the panic selling continues to hold sway here. So, all right, the most vulnerable areas of the market, and I said this all last week, I have had short positions in this area of the market on and off this year. It's been holding its own, okay, but now it's starting to break down, and that's the small cap index. That's the Russell 2000. That's probably like the crummiest of the small cap indexes, because there's a lot of junk in that 2000. There's also an S&P 600 small cap index. It's a little bit higher quality. So I kind of like to pick on the Russell 2000. There's a couple of indexes, inverse, the 1-to-1 index, and we owned both of these earlier in the year, and now that they've been going sideways here for a long time, but now they're starting to break out as the small cap index breaks down. There's just not a lot of confidence in these small cap companies right now. RWM, look at the volume that thing is trading today. And I mentioned it in my notes last week that I sent out. I said, look, these are the inverse ETFs that I'll be looking at in addition to the ones that I already own. RWM is a 1-to-1 relationship. So if the small caps, it is up 2.98% today, which means that the Russell 2000 is down 2.98%. That's the biggest volume day I've seen in a long time on RWM. It's traded 1.7 million shares already, and it is breaking out today. Okay, that's a fresh new breakout today on RWM. Now, TWM is twice the inverse of the Russell 2000. It's up 6%. Today. You see how that works? Russell 2000 down 3%. TWM is up 6%. It's also traded huge volume, 1.43 million shares today. These are both pro shares. These are ETFs. They're not mutual funds. They're ETFs that trade in an inverse relationship to the small cap index. And that's a fresh breakout today through resistance. TWM. So as I looked at these two charts last week, They were hitting resistance, Barry. They were hitting that ceiling line, okay? So that, you know, that's kind of a roll of the dice, whether they're going to hold that support level or whether they're going to, you know, back off from that support resistance level. They've backed off several times when they hit that resistance level in the past. So, you know, I didn't have a lot of faith that the Russell 2000 would break out today. You had to wait and see which way it was going to go.
Right, yep.
And it's breaking out today. So, you know, it's probably, I think I'll give it another day to see where it's going to settle. But TWM is up 6.2% today. Okay, now, if you really want some action, TZA, that is three times the inverse, okay? So you have the one-time inverse small caps is up 3%, the two-time inverse small caps is up 6%, and the three-time inverse is up over 9%. It's traded 5 million shares so far today. Now, this is a different one, direction ETFs. Profunds doesn't get into the three times, the 3X. And, of course, these 3X ones are under, they're watching them. The SEC is worried about the leverage. But for now, I mean, they trade out there on the markets. There are some. I don't believe Vanguard allows any inverse funds. But, you know, where we're at with Ameritrade, there are no restrictions. And a TZA, I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying, look at this thing. It's breaking out today, and it's three times inverse the small caps. That just seems to be an area that's just starting to continue to blow up. The Russell 2000 small cap index. And all three of those that I mentioned are against the Russell 2000 small cap index. Okay, then the third one, fourth one I would mention today, the emerging markets. With the trouble in the world, with what's going on in China, they're volatile because China's a part of the emerging markets.
And with the dollar rising.
And with the dollar rising, that makes it good too. EDZ is up 7.4% today on pretty big volume, 257%. So EDZ is the emerging market bear, 3X EDZ. So like I said, I'll be going through the entire list of inverse funds today. I'll be going through everything I own today. I'll be going through my B-plus or better ranked stocks, ETFs, the A-plus momentum. That's a pretty small list right now. Most of the A-plus momentum are inverse ETFs. And, of course, those bond funds continue to get hit. Believe it or not, I read today that Cathie Wood's ARK fund is down 51% year to date. 51%. And like I say, there's bear markets out there. There's bear markets in the bond funds. There's bear markets in the innovative, long-duration tech arena. And, of course, the NASDAQ is in a bear market now. So if you'd like to get the newsletter, see what I had to say about technical analysis and you know, valuations, fundamentals of the market, go to GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us, if you're in really bad harm's way, this is going to continue in these bear areas of the market. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.